Every year, same resolutions, same results. But this year is going to be different. This year, we're changing the way we change. This year, we're changing for good.
Well, good morning. I'm excited for today. If you've been here with us in the last 4 weeks, we've been talking about changing for good. It doesn't necessarily mean changing for the better, but changing for good is, and it's a permanent thing that we can deal with issues, an issue maybe in our life now, and then when we come back around the next January, we don't have to repeat it and go around the mountain again, but we can take on something else in our lives. Amen? Well, this morning, I've asked Cam Wiggins to come and share, and the reason I did, and I'm going to embarrass him for a minute, is because I've known Cam since he was, as I tell him, he was as wide as he was tall. And just all through his life, he's always had a sweet spirit. He's always just, I believe, had a call in his life just to share the word, whether it be from the platform or be one-on-one with people. And about 2 years ago, we did a series called My Story, and then we did a video actually talking about the vision of this church, which is to, our vision is to take people from where they are, one step closer. That's why you see it on the door and you see it everywhere. One step closer from where they are to where God wants them to be. And we did these videos, and Cam had kind of gotten away from God, and I won't steal his thunder, but he came back, and I've watched him over the last 2 years. The reason we preached what we did the last 4 weeks is because I've watched Cam over the last 2 years or so actually do it and live it out and walk it out and not come back around to 2016 and we got to start over again. 2017, we got to start over again, kind of redoing it. So I asked him early in the month, would you take this last part of the series, this is part 5, and would you begin to share and just share your story, share your testimony, because I want you to see that when it's done, that there's actually results, that God can take you no matter where you are, and when you begin to plug in and do the things we talked about, making him a priority, talking to him, learning how to pray, all the things we've talked about in the last few weeks, that change begins to happen, not of our own, but God begins to get down inside and begins to mess with us and do something in our lives. Amen? Amen. So in just a second, Cam's going to come and share, but before he does, I want you to check out this video.
One thing that I want everyone to realize, everyone to know, that you can never do something so bad where God won't love you. You can never do something where you have to run away from God, because I think the low point of my life was I used to like drinking. I liked it a lot. Well, I got out one night, and we got to drinking, and we made some bad decisions, bad choices. And that night was the low point of my life. And I bet I probably didn't go to church for a month, month and a half, 2 months. I was scared. I was running from God. And it was weeks later when I went to the church in Millen, and Daddy just showed me with his grace that he loved me, that I couldn't escape that. He wanted me. The things that I'd done, the alcohol, the other stuff, that's not what it's about. He overlooks that. He wanted me. He wanted Cam. He didn't want the alcohol. He didn't want the drugs. He wanted Cam. And once he got me, all the other stuff changed. That's where it starts. He wants me. He wants you. All the bad stuff, the tag-alongs that come with you, he's not worried about that. He changes you first, and then he fixes the rest. You don't need to run away from God. When all else fails and your life is broken and you feel like you're not worthy, the first thing you need to do is take that step and run to God, not away.
Everybody doing today? Thank God for grace and mercy and haircuts, right? But I ain't gonna lie, that's a handsome devil out there on that screen. But well, y'all, today I want to start out before I ever get into the word. I'm honored to come here today and be able to share. And bunch of crying, but it'll be all right. I'm honored. I mean, this is my church. I've been here since I was little. I'm honored to be able to get to come and share today with y'all. When I was probably back in ninth grade or something, had an altar call one day, and my dad come up for prayer, and he was standing about right here. And the preacher, he come down, he was praying for him, and I went up behind Daddy, and I just laid my hand on Daddy just to pray with him. And the pastor prayed for him, and he said, "Dent," he said, "you're called to minister. You're called to preach the gospel." And he reached back there, and he grabbed my hand, and said, "Cam, you're going to follow in his footsteps." And I was thinking, this man's crazy. He don't know Cam. So, anyways, today I've preached at the youth things and stuff. I've never preached on a Sunday morning, so that prophecy almost is fulfilled this morning. I think that's just the coolest thing ever. But just let us pray first, y'all. Father God, thank you for today. Thank you for every person that you brought here today, Father, and that it wasn't a mistake. They're all here for a reason, Father. I hope that they come expecting to feel refreshed, to feel renewed, Father God, and to see lives change. Father God, I pray today that you will just give me the words to say, that it won't be Cam's words, it won't be Cam up here talking, but it'll be the Holy Spirit just flowing through me, just flowing rivers of living water out of my mouth, Father God. Thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So, like I say, my name's Cam Wiggins, for those who don't know. I was 22 years old. My parents, I have great parents, Pam and Dent Wiggins. If you don't know them, all my family's here, my friends, everybody. But growing up, I'd say I was a good kid. I never really got in any trouble. I used to get wrote up a lot in school, but that was because I talked too much, and sometimes I'd lose my temper, and I said some things to teachers I should have never said, but thank God for grace, right? But I never really got in any trouble or anything with the law, none of that stuff. But my sophomore year in high school, I was on the football team, and I made some buddies that were seniors on the football team, and we started hanging out. Well, everywhere they'd go, I'd try to hang out with them, try to go with them. Well, they started going to the parties, and little fat Cam, I wanted to go party too, you know. I wanted to be cool. So they'd start drinking. I didn't want to be left out. There was never any peer pressure. Nobody forced me to do anything, but I wanted to fit in with everybody else, so I started drinking with them. So that went on and went on all my sophomore year. Well, those kids, they graduated and they moved off. But the drinking didn't go nowhere. The drinking stayed right here with me. So junior year, we'd always was finding something to get into every weekend. Just drinking. I mean, we never hurt nobody. We broke the law. We was underage, but we never got in any trouble with the law. But the drinking, it went on and on. And we was going into my senior year. And the preacher called everybody up to the front. And he was walking by and he was praying for us. And he got to me and he stopped. He said, "Cam," he said, "I feel like you're going to lead a bunch of people to Christ. You're going to do big things." He said, "You're a natural leader." He said, "People are going to follow you." And I'm like, "Well, okay, pretty cool, you know." So the following week of that senior year, I was named captain of the football team. So right there, the preacher said I was going to lead people to Christ, and I was named captain of the football team. This has all the ingredients to make a good story and win people for the kingdom, right? Well, that ain't what happened. So, we all agree with me that anytime you're supposed to do something big for the kingdom, when something huge is fixing to happen, the devil don't want that to happen. And he will try his best to knock you off your path. Y'all agree with me? Yeah. Well, that's what he did to me. He hit me square in the chin and knocked me so far out of it, I didn't even realize it. So, here I am supposed to be leading people to Christ, like the preacher said. And like I say, the devil come in and he's so deceiving, so conniving. Well, me and a buddy started smoking weed. It started out with two of us. Every party we go to, "Hey, man, try this. Man, you want to do this? It's so much fun. Come on, man, come on, smoke it. Well, it went from two to about 10 to 15. It was a pile of us. So, preacher said, "I'm going to lead people to Christ." And here I am leading them to drugs. Totally opposite of what I was called to do, what I said I was going to do. But during all this time, I'm not missing any Sundays. Maybe one or two here and there. But I'm sitting in this church all the time. I've sat in here hungover. And guys, I'm not proud of this. I've sat in here hungover. And there's one time I come here drunk as a skunk. But look, this is grace. Now I'm up here preaching the gospel. That is grace. So, with that being said, the older I got, I slowed down with my smoking. The drinking, we'd get more responsible. We still drank a lot, but it was just more responsible. And it was a year after I graduated. Me and my buddy Jimmy, we went turkey hunting that day. It was that afternoon. We was trying to catch some birds in the field, maybe going to the roost. We didn't hit on nothing. So we called it quits. We left and went home. Well, on the way home, I had an accident. I got in a wreck. And you can ask Mr. Mel, I can spot a deer long ways away. I don't usually hit deer, but I never saw this one coming. And next thing I know, it was right there in my windshield, and it hit me. I mean, I heard the explosion of glass go off, and I said about a million cuss words. I should have been calling on God for mercy for saving me, but here I am cussing like a sailor. But that wreck, we got some pictures of it. That was my car. That was Mama's car, her Buick LeSabre. There's no reason why that deer shouldn't have took my head off in that driver's seat. There's no reason other than the fact that God has a purpose for me. And I hadn't fulfilled that purpose yet. And it might be just for this day, but I was supposed to preach the gospel and share the gospel, and that wasn't my time. We got another one, too. That was a deer laid across the back seat. I was covered in hair and poop. It was like a poop bomb went off when it hit. But I remember the first guy that come to me, he's like, man, are you all right? I was like, dude, there's a deer in my back seat. Don't ask me if I'm all right. So, anyways, try to be a big tough guy. I was fine until Mama got there, and she come out there bawling, and of course that old lip went rolling, you know. But yeah, so that was a close call. And you'd think I'd have got my life straight right then, just seeing how precious life was and how fast it can be taken away. But I didn't. And well, towards the end of 2012, me and my buddies, bless them, we went out to the bar, and we was going to eat and drink and hang out and have a good time. We was just going to eat and have a few drinks. Y'all ever been there before? A few drinks turn into a bunch of drinks. Before you know it, you're in bad shape. I'm just being honest with y'all guys. Well, like I said on the video, that was the worst night of my life. Got drunk. Some things come into the picture that I knew better than doing, but I did them. And we did. Anyway, I drove home that morning at 6 o'clock in the morning. Had no reason whatsoever to be driving. I mean, under the influence to the maximum. Should have never been driving. I got home about 6, between 6 and 7 that morning. I was supposed to meet Gentry to go to church in Midland with them that Sunday. Needless to say, that didn't happen. I woke up, and y'all, I felt like I was about that big. I felt worthless. I felt like there was nothing I could do that was good enough to ever receive forgiveness for the stuff that I'd done. And I believed the lie of the devil, and I ran from God. I didn't go to church for a few months. I felt like there was no reason, because no matter what I did, I couldn't receive the forgiveness. That's a bad feeling, y'all. A very bad feeling. But like I say, I didn't even want to walk into a church. And Mr. Johnny, they was having a wild game dinner over there at the Midland Baptist Church in Midland. And well, he kept asking me to go, and I really didn't want to, because like I say, I didn't want nothing to do with church. I didn't want to go. But he kept asking, and I'm not a mean person. I didn't have the heart to say no. I mean, I don't like being rude to people. So finally, I was okay, I'll go with you. Just kind of leave it alone, you know. So me and Daddy, we go over there to that wild game supper, and we eat, hang out, have a good time. Everything's going good. Well, then we go make our way to the sanctuary, and his name was Paul Dennis. He was preaching. But he wasn't just preaching. He was talking to Cam. And every word he said was exactly what I needed to hear. You ever had a message like that? It spoke monuments to me. I mean, just every word just hitting in my heartstrings. Well, oh man, I love my Bible. Anyways, he made an altar call at the end of it. Well, I tell you what, he's preaching on being willing, saying you'd be so surprised with what God could do with your life if you were just willing to let him use you. That's huge. All he wants you to do is be willing. Say, God, use me. Well, that's what he preached on. So I said, I am willing, you know. So I said a prayer. I said, God, I've lived 20 years Cam's way. I'm ready to lay it all down. I'm ready to live for you. Because obviously my way wasn't working. So I said I was going to live for God, and I sat there, and I felt all good about the situation, you know, felt all refreshed and stuff. Well, at the end of it, they started giving away door prizes. They give away a bunch of small stuff, and then they pick up a Bible, and they said, I said, all right, Lord, if I'm going to spread the word, I got to know the word. And old Brother David reached in that hat, in that bucket, he pulled out that slip and said, Cam Wiggins. And you talking about a heart-stopping moment? Careful what you ask for, you know. But that old lip, you talking about lip rolling up. That and I walked down there and I got my Bible, but I didn't just get it and throw it on the shelf. I read it. Because obviously God was showing me, it's time, Cam. You asked, I answered, let's go. And y'all, since that night, ain't nothing been the same. Ain't nothing been the same. The whole way home, y'all ain't as tough as I look. That might be a surprise to some of y'all. But I cried like a baby. I mean, bawled my eyes out the whole way home. And the whole time I cried, my dad, he's my hero, he just preached grace to me and just told me that it don't matter what you've done in life. It don't matter how far you've got off the path. As long as you end up at the cross, you're exactly where you're supposed to be at. Everything you've done, everything you will even do in the future is covered under grace. And all you got to do is accept the forgiveness. But I learned that when you do hit rock bottom, like I said on the video, when you hit rock bottom, where I ran from God, do the exact opposite. 180 that and run to him as fast as you can go. Because that's where the healing starts. But the whole time I ran from God, Jesus was right behind me with arms wide open, just waiting for me to stop and embrace him and quit running. And I finally did that night. But I also learned that you don't have to have your life in order to get right with God. How many people in here fish? Any fishermen? One, two of you? Okay. How many of you have ever cleaned a fish before you caught it? That's pretty good, Bubba. But you can't clean a fish until you catch him. It's the same thing with God. You don't have to be clean to get in the door. He wants you. He wants your mess. He wants it all. And once you accept him for who he is, then all those problems, those tag-alongs, all that stuff just washes away by the blood. Amen. All those priorities start changing. When you start putting God first at the middle of everything, all this other stuff falls into place. Amen. But y'all, I'm not the same person that I used to be, and I'm proud of it. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Y'all ever seen a dead man? Y'all looking at him. Christ lives in me. Cam is no more. But it's through the blood of Jesus that I'm cleansed. I'm redeemed. I'm sanctified. Tell you what my daddy says about being justified. Ken, you remember this one. It's justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. That's what justified means to me. And like I say, it don't matter how crooked the road is. As long as you end up at the cross, you're where you need to be. We've all been on a trip with a GPS, right? You got your starting point, and you got your finishing point, right? Well, sometimes we think we know better than the GPS. And we go our own way. But what happens when you turn off the road it has planned for you? Recalculating. And it brings you back to where you're supposed to be. It's the same way with God, y'all. He has our end point marked out where he wants us to be. But sometimes we try to do it our own, try to go our own way, and we get off the path that he's called for us. Recalculating. And that comes by mercy and grace, and you get back on where you need to be, and you're at the foot of the cross. But y'all, it all starts with willingness. You got to be willing to accept Jesus Christ for who he is, that he is the Son of God, that he did come to die for our sins so we can receive forgiveness, and that he rose on the third day, and now he's seated at the right hand of God Almighty. You have to be willing to accept that.
You've got to be willing to follow Christ. Pick up your cross every day. Die to yourself every day in what you want to do and do God's will. I heard somebody say one time, what did that fellow say? He said that Christians will use that as like a comfort because it's easy to have like a peace from God. Have y'all ever been called to move when you feel like you're supposed to do something? That's not easy. You feel like, man, they're going to think I'm crazy. But it don't matter. You do it anyways because that's what you feel like you're supposed to do. And Brother Bill taught me, if it's going to encourage somebody, pick somebody up, and show love to somebody, that's the Lord talking to you, and you do it. But I want to take a quick look here in Daniel chapter 3 about three guys who knew who the Lord was. They had that relationship, and they were willing to lay it all down for him. You ever heard of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I debated even talking about this. I've already taught it to the youth before, and I was debating even talking about it, and I prayed about it and never really got a conclusion, an answer, you know. Or then the next morning I woke up and my whole devotion was Daniel chapter 3 about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So I think I'm supposed to share it. So to catch you up here, King Nebuchadnezzar has built this giant statue, and at a certain time he's going to have all the zithers, harps, and all the instruments play, and everybody's supposed to bow down and praise this statue. Well, everybody bows down and praises it except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they were willing to take a stand for God, and they wasn't going to give in what like the rest of the world was doing. So let's pick up here in verse 13. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I've set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, all those instruments. Was that 15? I'm sorry, y'all. If you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? And y'all listen to the answer they say in verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hands. Okay, they believe, right? But check this out in the next verse. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you set up. These fellows are prepared to die for the God they serve. They are believing and they're willing to take that stand, even if it means death, because they know God can save them. But even if he can't, they're still willing to die. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his armies to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace was so hot, the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's hot. You got people already dying before they ever get there. And the three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Well, we all know the story. They fall in there. I'll just read it. I mean, it's a good story. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped up to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men that we tied into the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. He said, look, I see 4 men walking around the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. Y'all check this out. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was the hair of their heads singed, their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Y'all ever had a bonfire? You ever stood beside a fire? What'd you smell like? And they just got thrown in the fire, and don't even smell like smoke? God's good, y'all. God is so good. But here in verse 28, Look what happens when you do, when you're willing to take a stand for God and you're willing to lay it all out for Him. Look at how He glorified this. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent His angel and rescued His servants. They trusted in Him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save in this way." Glory be to God. So you can go from "I'm finna kill you because you're worshiping your God" to now, "Praise be to your God, and we're going to kill anybody who says anything about Him." Hallelujah. I mean, that's awesome. That whole story is awesome. But now, we're going to look at Jesus' willingness for us. Let's go to Mark chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 40. This is where Jesus heals the man with leprosy. "A man with leprosy came to Him and begged on his knees, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Jesus was indignant. He reached out His hand and touched the man. 'I am willing,' He said, 'be clean.' Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed." So you read that, you might think, "Oh, that's okay, healed a man, what's the big deal?" In that time period, leprosy, if you had leprosy, the law said you was unclean. Anybody who came into contact with you was also considered unclean. They couldn't come to any social or religious gatherings. People threw rocks at them to keep them away. So why in the world would Jesus even talk to this guy if he was so unclean? Why would He do that? That was just blowing my mind. So this is what the answer is. In verse 41. "Jesus was indignant. He reached out His hand and touched the man. 'I am willing,' He said, 'be clean.' In 42, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed." So not only did Jesus associate with this guy, but He healed him. So like I say, why would He do that? He didn't just come up and keep His distance. He come up there personal, one-on-one, that relationship. And instead of just kind of standing off at a distance, He reaches out and touches the man that everybody is scared of to be around because they think they'll be dirty. He reaches out and touches him, and He says, "I am willing. Be clean." Why would He do that? Because the value, the worth of a person is not on the outside. The worth of somebody is in here. What is this right here? $20. That's all I got in my name. $20. So, we'll take this $20 bill right here. Let's ball it up. Get it good and crumpled. Just unroll it. What is it? It's $20. Let's throw it on the ground. Step on it. Still $20. It don't matter how worn or how frayed around the edges is. This ain't going to depreciate. It's not going to go down to $5 or $1. Don't matter how tattered it is. It's the worth never changes. That's the way God sees us. It don't matter how worn we are, how rough around the edges we are. When He looks at us, He sees a clean, crisp $20 bill. Why? Because the blood of Jesus. When He sees us, He sees the blood that was poured out by His Son for us. So, I don't care what the world tries to tell you. They might try to tell you you're just an old sinner. They ain't no good for nothing. But what the Bible says is you're righteous and you're made whole. That don't matter how rough around the edges you are. You are a firm, clean, crisp $20 bill. So, in a way, I was like that man with leprosy. I said, "What are you talking about? You ain't got no skin condition." But no, I was deformed with the ugliness of sin. We all were. But just like how Jesus reached out and healed that leopard, He reached out on that cross and took that nail in His hand. And he cleansed us just like he healed this leper. And he's fixed my life. He's fixed everything I could imagine. You might think that there's just no way ever you can receive forgiveness or that God could love you again for the stuff you've done. But I'm here to tell y'all today, y'all, that's a lie from the devil. It don't matter what the world tells you, what people tell you. It's about what God tells you. And Jesus thought you were to die for. If not, he wouldn't have come down and did what he did. He took all our punishment. He took all our sin, all our transgressions, and put them on his back and nailed them to that cross. He was willing to do that. You think it was nails that kept him on the cross? Absolutely not. It was his willingness and his love for us to save us is what kept him on that cross. And y'all, just a side note, he died, right? Well, when he died, so did sin. So did disease. So did sickness. And all that stuff is down below the ground. It's dead. When he arose righteous and made whole. So I don't care what the doctors tell you. My God's bigger than cancer. My God is bigger than any disease you can think of. And it's what my God says what matters to me, not what a doctor tells me. But y'all, I'm just here to tell y'all today. It don't matter, like I said, how bad the road's been. There's always grace and there's always forgiveness and he's always got mercy just to pour out on you. Always. Don't matter where you've been. I just can't say it enough. The only reason I'm here today sharing this is because of mercy and grace. And if there's anybody out there who has never made Jesus your personal Lord and Savior, fellas, I'm right here on the front. I'm right here. I'd be happy to pray with anybody and to talk to anybody we got in here. Thank you, Jesus. The biggest thing, we got to be willing, guys and girls. Be willing to take a stand for Christ. Let God use you. I pray every day. I say, God, use me in a mighty way to share the gospel. Well, I've had a bunch of doors open where I'm getting to share the gospel. If you want him to use you, just ask. I promise you he'll let you. All he wants is a mouthpiece. I'm his mouthpiece. Siri tells me on my phone, I'm God's hands and feet. But that's what he wants. He wants the mouthpiece, and you're the body. Just be it for him. Pray for God to use you, and I promise you he'll do it, y'all. But that's my challenge for you today. Take a stand for Christ. Be willing to be used. Pick up your own cross. Tote your own cross. Jesus, he toted his from Jerusalem all the way to Calvary for us. So we need to pick up ours every day for him. The 3 points, if y'all don't remember nothing else, everything you've ever done is covered in grace. Jesus, he was willing to carry his cross for us, let's carry ours for him. And your mistakes, they don't change your worth and your value. Your $20 bill might be a little bit tattered, but you're still a $20 bill. You're still a $20 bill. Guys, we're here for all of you. If y'all want to come up and pray, I don't care what it's about, come to the front, we'll pray for healing. If you want to meet Jesus, I'd be happy to pray with you about that too. But he wants you. He wants me. He wants every one of you out there. And it's time for us to answer the call and be willing. Amen. We're all in this thing together. Some people's called to preach. Some people's called to teach. One of the gifts of the Spirit is encourage. How easy is that to do? It's simple to give somebody a compliment. Guys, but we're all in it together. And Jesus has paved the way for every single one of us. And there's grace and forgiveness for every single one of us. You just got to be willing to accept him and willing to accept the cross. Because that was where it all started, was the cross. And it's by the blood that we're all made whole. My daddy told me one time when we mess up, it's God sits in heaven, okay? And he looks down and sees us. And here's the devil sitting talking to him. You can't love that person. Look what they're doing. He ain't got a lie. He's telling the truth. We mess up every day. He's saying, look at that person though. There's no way you could love them. But then he looks over at Jesus, and what's he see? He sees the nails in his hands. He sees the nails in his feet. So then he said, what do you think about that, Jesus? Jesus says, I've paid the price in full. They don't deserve judgment. I've already took it for them. That's what the cross was, Daddy. So it's through Jesus that we are made whole. We're new creations. We're not the same. So you don't have to keep living the same old lifestyle. You're not tied down by sin no more. You're set free from that. The chains of the devil were broken. When Jesus went down, he defeated the devil. He took the keys of death. Death has no power over us. We might die, our bodies might stay here, but we're going to live with Jesus. We're going to live with Jesus. Death has no sting whatsoever. And when you grasp that, that's life-changing, y'all. That's life-changing. So, if, like I say, if there's anybody here today that wants prayer, that wants to meet Jesus, or maybe you've met him, you've known him for a long time, but you've kind of slipped away. You've kind of backslidden a little bit. Well, today is the day of salvation, y'all. Today is the day you can make it all right with Daddy. All you got to do is be willing to accept it. But if that's you, I'll be down here on the front. I'm gonna say a quick prayer. You're going to close it. Father God, thank you for today. Thank you for every person that's come here. Father, thank you for the words that were said. And I just pray that these words, they didn't just get scattered out onto the ground. I pray that they went down and they found deep roots. Father, I'm expecting to see lives change today, Lord. Father God, I just pray that you'll just pour out blessings over each and every person here and just show them. It's all about you, Father God. Everything that we do, it's all about you, Father God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Why don't you stand with me real quick? Cam, you can stay up here. I'm going to share this scripture with you. I think it'll be on the screen, but it's 1 Peter. Cam was going to use this, but I'm going to bring it up. 1 Peter 2:24. It says that he personally carried our sins. Notice where he carried it. Not a lot of us think he carried it on his body. The Bible actually says he carried it in his body. It's very personal, very internal. And then his body was placed on the cross so that we can be dead to sin. And here's where I believe change happens. Look at this. And live for what is right. In other words, we live righteous. We're made righteous because of what he did. And by his wounds, we were healed. I tell you what, just for a second, why don't we bow our head, close our eyes. And let's pray now. So for just a second, it's just you and God. You may have been saved for a long time. On the other end, you may think, I don't really know what, I can't identify with Cam because I know I'm not right with God, but I've never made that decision. And you need to make that decision today to be willing to turn everything over to God, to be willing to lay down what you want, to be willing to now be used by God. Or you may fit in the middle. You know Jesus and you've made him your Lord and Savior, but you're kind of living, straddling the fence. It's kind of what Cam said, coming to church Sunday, living some other way the rest of the week. If you fit in any of those first two categories and say, Clint, include me in this prayer. I need to make my life right, and I'm now willing to lay it all down, lay my life down, and receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'm not going to call you up, embarrass you, but I do want you just to raise your hand and wave at me real quick. I just want to pray with you. There's a couple hands. Anybody else? Include me in that, Clint. I want to make my life right today. Several hands. Let's do this real. Let's all pray that together today. And after we pray, when you're done, if you raised your hand, Cam will be down here in the front, and I'll be down here. Don't walk out. Come, let us pray with you. getting salvation is not coming from us. It's now recurring between you and God. You don't need me or Cam or anybody else to lead you to God. You can go. The Bible says in Hebrews, we can go boldly to the throne right by ourselves, right on our own. So I'm going to pray in a minute. We're going to all pray this together, actually, just repeat it. And then I'm going to pray and dismiss you. But if we can pray with you about anything, just somebody to agree with you, or if you receive Jesus today and you say, I'm making my life right, then please just come, let us know. We want to pray with you. I promise you there's a no-hassle guarantee. We're not going to beat your door down. We just want you to know what God's got for you and what can be next in your lives. Amen? Amen. Why don't we all pray this together with those who raise their hand? Just repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus. Come on now, say it like you mean it. Lord Jesus, today I'm willing. I confess you now as my Lord, as my Savior. And I believe it in my heart, and I confess it with my mouth that you're my Savior. You're my God. You're my King. And best of all, you're my Father. Forgive me, Father, for all my sins. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son to pay the price for my sin. I'll walk now, Father, willing to do whatever you ask of me. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,